This is the West Coast Project podcast for Better Call Saul. My name is Mike, and I'm here with Kelly. Hey, Kelly.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, and we're catching up with the episodes in Breaking Bad that Saul appears in. And I have done the first part of this, Kelly. I started with season two, where Saul first appeared. He's in four episodes in season two, starting in episode eight, which is entitled Better Call Saul. And this is your first time with me, so I thought we'd try. I'm catching up now with season three, and Saul appears in the second episode of season three. So you've watched that episode and caught up to doing a rewatch?
Correct.
Okay. So let's catch up to where Saul is at this point, or where the series is, actually. So I don't know if you remember, Kelly, season two, where it ended was Walt goes to the hotel and he brings the drugs and gets the money. He gets a big chunk of money from Gus and his partner.
Right.
And that is when the baby is born. And it's also when Jane dies. So we see a pretty important part of Saul in the end of episode two, because he sends Mike over to clean up after Jane is found in Jesse's apartment.
Correct. Right.
Yeah. So has it been a while since you watched anything from season two?
No, actually, I was just in Albuquerque for the Breaking Bad Festival, and we did a lot of the rewatching, and come to find out, Mike was brought on because Saul, they thought it would be unrealistic that Saul would come into Jesse's apartment and clean up after Jane. So that's actually how Jonathan Banks got on.
But that's where we are. Season two ends with Jane dying and Jesse's really wiped out by it. And Saul is sending Mike over to clean up the mess. And that's where it is. So in the first episode of season three, it's entitled No Moss. Saul does not appear in that episode. But you might remember that one too, Kelly. I don't know if you've seen that one recently, but it's where the religious worshipers come crawling through the desert in the first scene.
Yes, uh-huh.
That really creepy scene where they crawl in, and then we see the two cousins show up in their fancy clothes in their car, and they start crawling along with the other Mexican residents of that village.
Yes, and I'm wondering, why are they crawling in their beautiful suits?
Yeah, that was a freaky one, because it was like, what? Wait a minute, we just saw this really important character die, and then they have all this money, and now they're in the village in Mexico crawling through the dust. And that was crazy. But that's the one where they placed the Heisenberg drawing on that altar that was in that crazy, in that village.
Right.
Let's breeze through 301 really quickly. No Moss. It's the plane crash reports are all over the place. Donald Margolis, who was Jane's father, was at fault, and he's all over the news, and he's getting kind of blamed for this whole thing. And then the scene where next after that we see Walt tossing matches into the pool, and then he eventually lights the grill with all the money in it on fire. You know,
right.
As if I'm done with this, I'm going to just wipe this all clean. But then he changes his mind and throws the whole thing in the pool and saves the money. Episode one is also where Skyler sees the divorce attorney. So she's ready to call it quits with Walter. And Hank is helping Walt move out of the house. Skyler's thrown him out of the house. And one of the things he moves is the big bag of cash. And Walt makes a joke that it's pretty heavy. It's $500,000 in cash. And Hank just laughs it off. Then we see Jesse at rehab because he's really psyched out about Jane, and he's at rehab. Walt Jr. is really struggling with the separation of his dad leaving the house.
Staying up at the Beachcomber.
Yeah, he's staying at this crappy place, right? The Beachcomber.
Right.
And he's kind of picked up the habits of his victims, which is kind of a theme of the show, that he's cutting the PBJ crusts off the bread of his PBJ sandwich.
Yes. Yep. You're right. I'm glad that you mentioned that, because in No Moss, that's when he finally had come clean to Skyler.
Right. Right. So that was Crazy Eight's when Crazy Eight was in the series. That's what he liked in his sandwich. Walt talks to the school about the plane crash, and he tries to minimize the whole thing, like it's only the 50th biggest air crash in history. So he's being Walt. The cousins get some new clothes. They drop off their Mercedes and exchange their clothes after crawling through that Mexican village. They get some clothes from another Mexican family.
Right.
Skyler's got the divorce papers. She knows he's a drug dealer. She thinks it's marijuana, though. And then she realizes, okay, it's not marijuana, is it cocaine? And Walt finally admits that it's meth.
Correct.
He tries to write it off by saying it's not really a dealer, I'm a manufacturer. Like, there's that much of a difference.
Right, he's trying to downsize his role.
Yeah, like, that helps. It, you know, it really doesn't. It's the same thing.
That also, too, in the auditorium, the little blonde girl that has something to say, that's his daughter, just as a side note. She did a little cameo there.
Oh, that's Cranston's daughter?
Yes, that's his daughter, the blonde girl that stands up.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that. That's neat to know. So Walt picks up Jesse from rehab and tells him Saul has his money as soon as he's feeling better. And Jesse says, I know who I am now. I'm the bad guy. Which is interesting because we're going to hear that coming up in episode 2 when Walt says the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So this next step, Walt goes to Poyos, and he's had a couple texts from Gus, and he gets the offer from Gus for $3 million for 3 months' work. And Walt says, no, I'm done. I'm not going to take that offer. The final scene is Gus, or it's the cousins cross into the USA in that hay truck. And they explode. They shoot everybody in the truck, and the truck blows up. And they just kind of walk away with the awesome desert landscape in the background.
Right.
So we know the cousins have made their way up through that village and done that really weird prayer ritual and posted the Heisenberg picture, and they're on their way up to visit Walt. And so that's No Mas. That's 301. So Saul doesn't appear there. 302 is Caballo Sin Nombre. And there's a lot of quick cuts in this episode, Kelly. Did you have anything or initial opinions about 302?
Well, first of all, the name is Horse with No Name, and the song that Walt's singing in the beginning with the car, they were looking for something that was going to be kind of an older white man, unhip kind of song, so they decided to have that in the beginning.
Right. It's the band America, and Walt's singing along with it. He's got that crazy Aztec with a broken windshield, still broken from the airplane parts and body parts falling on it.
Correct, yes.
So he gets pulled over and pepper sprayed because he doesn't like the fact that he's going to get a ticket. He thinks his broken windshield is okay because it was a part of that accident, I guess.
Right, and Vince Gilligan had said that he would kind of wondered what Walt's state of mind was at that time because he's cooking meth, he's in a vulnerable position, and yet he's challenging authority, where you would think if you were in that kind of line of work that you would be kind of a yes, sir type of attitude. But the person, the gentleman who pulls him over actually is a fire chief named Jay Taylor that played the arresting officer. So they really had someone who brought that character to life.
Yeah, he was very realistic, that Officer Kavanaugh.
Yep.
The whole thing with turn the radio down, he turns it down a little, and he says turning it down means turning it off.
Right. That was Peter Gould's line. Peter Gould wrote the episode, which is, you know, as we know, is the creator of the Saul Goodman character.
Yep.
So he wrote that. That was his line as well.
He's probably heard it from a cop or two in his life.
Probably. I always turn my music right off.
So Hank's investigating this cousin's truck explosion. We see Hank in his office. And he thinks it's connected somehow to the Juarez cartel, which in a way it really is. Those guys are part of the cartel, that whole cartel business.
Yes.
When I watched this, Kelly, I remembered Hank is the version one of Hank that I first remembered, the loud, blustery kind of center of the attraction in every room he's in.
Yes.
He's a little bit more likable later in the series, but he was Hank version one in this episode for sure.
He really was. Kind of reminds me of an uncle, the loud shirts and that real kind of cop attitude, real obnoxious, sort of untouchable.
Right. And so Gomi makes the remark that it's been 29 days since the last blue meth. And this is, of course, because they sold their whole batch to Gus, who's in the last episode, and he's probably now sending it all over the place in his Poyo trucks.
Correct, right. Mm-hmm.
And then we see Jesse's had 45 days of sobriety. He's a little tag on his car, and he's heading to his parents' house. He sees that it's for sale, but his dad won't let him inside to see it. He's really not welcome there anymore. That was a pretty sad scene.
That was a really sad scene, and there's a scene where when he's shutting his trunk of his car that there's three stick figures on the back of the parents' car, but there's not one for Jesse.
Yeah, I saw that on your website. Well, we'll talk about your website a little bit. You've got a really cool site. You want to say what it is and how to find it?
Sure. I have two. I have Better Call Saul Fun Facts, which is my newer page to do daily updates of what's coming up with Better Call Saul as it's coming out in February. And then I also have Breaking Bad Fun Facts, which I've had for about a year, which is chock full of about 2,000 fun facts about the show and the actors.
Nice.
And those are both available on Instagram, Tumblr, Twitter, and Facebook.
Cool. So we'll put those links to those sites in the show notes for the podcast, and people can go check them out. They're really cool. You've got a constant stream of interesting pictures and stuff.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I really like it. Okay, so Walt's in trouble from this cop. He's arguing, and he gets arrested. So Hank has to bail him out of the Albuquerque PD jail. And Walt looks totally beat, man. He's all pepper-faced, spray-faced. His eyes are red. His face is all red. And he has to apologize to this officer, Kavanaugh, and then he's free. But he's really belittled by this whole experience.
Right. He's by pure force apologizing. And it's funny that Hank is brought in to save Marie and is brought in to save him. And then also with when RJ gets in trouble with the alcohol, Hank seems to be the one that they all come running to.
That's right. That's right. So Walt's doing his laundry at a laundromat now because he's the single guy. And Saul shows up. The laundromat, I guess, must be at that hotel. Yeah. Saul shows up. You don't write, you don't call. He's Walt's worried that he's lost his family, and all Saul cares about is getting him back into the business.
Right.
Saul kind of misinterprets what Walt's worried about. Like, there's nothing to worry about. Skylar will never say anything. She would lose so much if she did. And he doesn't really bring into consideration the family aspect that Walter has, that he's losing his family.
Right. I hope to learn a little bit more about Saul when he mentions that he has an ex-wife that had sex with his stepdad or something. I'd like to know more about what his family in the upcoming series.
Oh, how did you find that out?
He mentions it in one of the episodes. He says, my ex-wife, it was when he went to go attack Ted. When Walt goes to get Ted and Saul, Mike picks him up in the parking lot and brings him to Saul's office, and Saul says, my ex-wife once screwed my stepdad, but something to that effect. So
okay.
He kind of seems detached from any family. You're not hearing much about anybody getting harassed in his family, so I just kind of wonder what his deal is with that.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to find out more about Saul and hopefully Mike and some of the other people.
Right. Did you see the new trailer?
I did, where Saul's trying to get into the parking garage or parking lot. Yeah,
right.
That's pretty funny.
Now we know how we met Mike, at least.
Yeah, Mike's a parking garage attendant. That's kind of a low-level job for him, didn't you think?
Yeah, I think he was a cop. I know he's a cop gone bad or something to that effect, because we know he was a prior policeman. So I'm thinking that maybe he had to do a desk job and then ended up maybe getting fired, and this was kind of the closest thing he could get.
Yeah, or in between jobs or something.
Yeah, like, some people go to security work. Maybe that was, so that's kind of an interesting take on how they meet.
Right. Well, so back in this one, Saul's trying to get Walt back to work. He's like, don't worry, there's other fish in the sea. You can get a new family and all that bullshit. Mm-hmm. He just wants him to get back cooking. And Walt now says, I can't be the bad guy anymore, like Jesse had said. So that was interesting. Walt's resisting this whole life of crime. Now we see Mike with his granddaughter in the next scene. He's getting called by Saul. And Saul's telling him we may have a wife problem. So that's going to come up in the next couple scenes here. But Walt Jr. is giving Skylar the silent treatment. I noticed in this scene his Save Walter White website was up to $13,000.
Yeah.
And that was also Saul's doing, right?
Yes, because they're doing the laundering the money. That was kind of the beginning of how they were hiding the money, is putting it through that website as donations.
Yep, so it's still cranking out donations. I don't know what they're doing with the money, if they're just letting it build up. But the next scene is Hank Marie and Skyler Jr. having dinner. You know, Walter's not there. Mm-hmm. Jr. now wants to be called Walter and not Flynn anymore, so he's showing protest about Walt Sr. being kind of exiled from the family. And he calls Skyler a bitch. Hank and Marie leave, and they start to talk out in the street with their car. And Hank gives an assessment of Walt. He pretty much calls him a nice guy, but an underachiever with a dead-end life. And how a guy like that who gets cancer and feels like time's running out means he's stepping out. He's trying to make some last mark on the world. And Skyler caught him somehow. So he kind of misinterprets what Walt is doing.
I think part of it, sorry to interrupt, was that he had mentioned the second cell phone. He said, once I heard about the second cell phone, I knew exactly what it was.
Yeah, you're right. That's very important, that second cell phone.
Yeah, he kind of jumped to conclusions that it was Walt that was cheating, because all the signs point to him. But it's funny that Marie knows something's up, because if it had been something like that she would have divulged that to Marie, because they're so tight as sisters.
Yeah, you're right. Marie into it's more than Hank's like blundering through it. It's another evidence too of Hank underestimating Walt. Like he says something like Walt probably felt so guilty he told Skyler himself.
So right.
He's really thinking of Hank as this poor, you know, wimp of a guy in the world, and like a person you'd really feel sorry for. So next we see at Saul's office, Jesse shows up for his money, and Saul has it in a big duffel bag. I remember the first time I saw this, I was kind of surprised that Saul was giving the money back to Jesse so easily. Like, hey, I'm upstanding. You know, I held your money for you, and here it is. You're ready for it. You can take it back.
Right. I was surprised at that too.
But Saul's still trying to get him back into cooking with Walt. He says, Walt not cooking is like Michelangelo not painting.
Correct.
Jesse hires Saul.
I think he was trying to buy his parents' house.
That's right. And I remember that being cool, because Jesse now is showing some entrepreneurship here, some enterprising spunk, right? He's like, he's going to think up this caper where he buys back the house.
Well, a lot of the times, you know, they always go to Walt first for, you know, the tax cover up with the nail salon, or any time that they're looking for Walt. Jesse's like, what am I, a shadow? Because they always underestimate Jesse as well.
Yeah, I like that Jesse's not going to just lie back and get run over. He's starting to show that he's got some play in him. He's going to be, you know, a bigger part of this series.
Yes.
Because I think at the time they were trying to figure out what to do with Jesse, even that it was a little bit surprising that he made it out of season one even. Now he's made it all the way to season three, and he's becoming a really much more important character in this show.
Yeah, he really is. He was supposed to be gone after season one, but the writer's strike kept him, which is a pretty common thing, but fact with him. But yeah, so they're really bringing him into his own. And they're changing his style, too. He's gone from the homeboy with the big, oversized sweatshirts and hats to more of a more mature type of wardrobe.
Right. So we see Walt Jr. going over to Walt's apartment and kind of waiting for him, I guess. And then we go to the old folks' home. The old folks' home, on my second watch, I noticed a couple things. We see that nice little old lady that was saying hello to Walt when he was hiding outside right before Gus and the explosion.
Yeah.
Remember that lady? She was eating Jell-O in the scene. I don't know if you'd pick that up, but there she was watching somebody play like solitaire and eating Jell-O. Mm-hmm. But at the old folks' home, the cousins have made it to see their uncle Tio Salamanca. And they spell out Walter White on the Ouija board. He points out that it's Walter White. And Kelly, what do you think those old folks do with the Ouija board when they're not using it to spell out criminal clues to the other guys?
Well, I don't know if that was just maybe been donated by somebody, but I know that on a little bit of a tip that Parker Brothers gave them free rein to use that, and Vince Gilligan was a little bit of afraid that they might not want to have that used in their series, but they gave them the green light to use that game board.
That's interesting.
And then also, just really quickly before we get too far, that place where Walt is staying, where he bumps his head, is actually Vince Gilligan's actual condo that he lived in while filming.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Yeah.
And I think the car that the cousins had, that gray Mercedes or silver Mercedes, was Gilligan's car.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Hey, fun fact.
All right, so we see at Beneke's now, Skylar's checking Beneke's books, and Holly is at work with her. So Holly is a little baby girl now at work with Skylar. But Skylar can't sign off on these books because they're not up to, they're illegal. They're not reporting accurately what that business is really doing. And she tells Ted he has to be more careful if you're going to do this, which is actually kind of surprising. It was the first crack in Skylar's, rock-solid, lily-white personality, right?
Yes, she said, I can't sign these how they are. So she almost was giving him a little bit of wiggle room to maybe cook the books or change them a little bit.
Yeah, or we need to cheat a little better if this is going to be successful. I also noticed, too, that she displaces Ted for Walt for a minute. She says, what would you do if your kids found out? And what will you tell them when they're old enough to understand? How would you explain this to them? And that could have been Walt, right? Why are you doing this, and what would you explain to your kids later if they ever found out?
Right.
And Ted says, I'm trying to provide, which we hear as advice that Gus gives to Walt later on.
Right. You have to protect your family. You have to do what's necessary. And he was also very big on protecting his customer base. Or I'm sorry, not his customer base, his employees.
Right. His family of workers, right.
Correct.
This was the beginning of Skylar Breaking Bad, but this is also sort of the beginning of people starting to really hate Skylar. Were you a Skylar hater, Kelly, back in the very beginning?
I was not a Skylar hater. I was always Team Walt, but I was never, I understood her actions. I think the only time that to answer your question, when she started cheating on Walt with Ted, I thought that was a little bit hypocritical, and started cooking his books and protecting Ted, that was a little bit of a hypocritical stance for what Walt's doing.
Yeah, she was powerless and probably just doing some stuff she would normally not do, but...
Correct, yeah.
A lot of people didn't like Skylar very much at this part. So Walt calls Skylar to explain why Walt Jr. is at the apartment, and he's trying to be pretty diplomatic. He's diplomatic with Walt Jr. about why Skylar kicked him out. So I gave him a little credit for that. So Saul now shows up as the rep interested in buying Jesse's parents' house with the parents and the lawyer. And this shows that Saul is he is a clown, but he's a very, very smart one. He's offered to buy the house in cash, but only $400,000 in cash, and they wanted $875,000, which is really a pretty good plot, I think. They knew that they had them. He tells them that he knows about the meth lab in the basement, how they had a termite inspection, but no meth lab report. He could file suits, start criminal proceedings, and stop the house from getting sold for probably a pretty long time.
Right, which Vince Gillen actually mentioned that's a real problem in the Southwest, and that they have to actually disclose that now because there's so many meth houses. So that's something that actually really isn't too far from reality.
Wow, that's crazy. So the next scene, we see one of the most incredible pizza-tossing shots in the history of television.
Yes.
Walt brings pizza, but Skylar has no part of it. He's bringing Walt Jr. back, and he brings a big pizza. But she locks him out, shuts him out, even locks the door after she shuts it, and Walt slings the pizza box, and the pizza ends up perfectly on the roof.
Would you know about... Are you aware that that was weighted, but that he got that in one shot?
I did. I heard that was one try, and that worked perfectly.
Yeah, if you look very closely, he looks back up, and that's actually a genuine reaction because he couldn't believe that he made it. He said it was a Super Bowl of pizza tossing.
They're like, holy shit, it was the first one, and it's perfect. That's
it
great.
Perfect.
So he storms off in his Aztec, and his Aztec has a new windshield now, the first of many. I can't even remember. Is it the first new windshield? Because it gets a few.
He has three total, possibly four. But yes, he has quite a bit. He's always got that window taped.
So Walt now is back at his apartment, and it looks like it's been really trashed, or he's gotten really trashed. There's beer bottles and popcorn all over the place. And the phone wakes him up, and it's Skylar bitching about that pizza on the roof. And she threatens a restraining order. So things are looking pretty dismal for Walt at this point.
Well, this famous line, restrain these, restrain this.
Right. Yeah, that was funny. So Jesse moves into his new house, breezing right past Mom and Dad, and takes ownership. They were not aware at this up till this point that it was him and the purchaser. Now, Mike watches as Walter and Skylar leave for work and school and sets up the bugs at Walt's house. This is based on Saul's call that we have a wife problem.
Right, yes.
Pretty cool music while he's doing this, too. I'll try to find it and maybe play it under this on the podcast. But pretty cool spy versus spy music as Mike drills holes and puts these cameras into the house. But Walt comes home while he's doing this and surprises him and moves back in. The locks are all changed, so he has to sneak around and crawls in through that vent. That's a prelude of some other action that happens later on in the series, that crawl space.
Right. Didn't look very fun crawling under there.
No. So he gets in the shower, cleans up, and he's singing the Horse with No Name song again in the shower. And as Mike's leaving, he sees the cousins show up with their silver axe, that horrific-looking silver axe. And he calls somebody, and I guess we know now that it's Gus, right?
Yes, Mike sees that and says, Gus, we've got a problem, but right.
Did we know that back then? I don't remember or not if I remember knowing that he was calling Gus.
Well, we did when the cousins, Luis Moncada, when he gets the Pollo text.
Oh, right. You're
then
right.
Then we got to be Gus, because Gus was trying to keep Walt alive where those cousins were trying to kill him.
Right. Good point. But this call essentially saves Walter's life. Gus is able to... Gus has enough pull still on the cartel people to call them off in his territory.
Yes, exactly.
They're mortal enemies, but they still respect the rights of the territory, I guess. We see a few shots of Victor and Gus at the industrial laundromat. The cousins are waiting, and I guess this is during the transaction of this call being made. But they look at the eyeball, too. That was interesting. The third or fourth time this eyeball has shown up in the series, the eyeball from the teddy bear from the plane crash.
Right, and Walt also notices when he comes out of the shower that it's sitting there, that it was out of place.
Right. And so that's the end of the episode, right? That's kind of how we're left with this ominous trail of people seeming to want to knock Walt off.
Yes. Yeah, and on a humorous side, Bryan Cranston during that scene when the cousins are sitting there would sing awful and come out and mess with them and moon them and because he's well known for being very comfortable with his naked body. So
right.
So yeah, he's quite a jokester.
Yeah, we learned that in the very first episode of the whole series.
Yes.
Standing yep. there in his underwear.
Yeah. And he was in his underwear when he had all that popcorn and everything around the. When he was in his apartment, when Skylar calls.
Yeah, you're right. I don't think he was able to make Tidy Whitey stylish again, but he certainly brought them back on the big screen.
Right.
On the little screen.
Contract, how often he has to be in his Tidy Whiteys.
Yeah.
Malcolm in the Middle, he was in them there too.
So that was it for 302, Caballo Sin Nombre. And the next episode is IFT, which is an interesting one. Do you remember that one, Kelly, from watching it the first time?
I do.
It was brutal for both Walt and Skylar.
Yeah.
Skylar haters really thrived on that one. But we'll be doing that one next. And if you want more information about the Better Call Saul show and podcast, you can find them in the show notes. We'll put information about Kelly's websites. If you want to reach us, look for the show notes. There is a Facebook page for Better Call Saul. My Twitter handle is @scathingtweets. Kelly, what's your handle?
Mine is @BRBA_funfacts.
Okay, and we'll put all of that in the show notes so you can just click on it and link to us. And we'll see you next time, Kelly, on IFT.
Okay, sounds good. I look forward to it.
All right, great. Thanks.
Bye-bye.